Blog Talk Radio.
Frights of the Round Table. I'm your host, Jonathan Moody, and my co-host, Laura, is calling in a little bit. But before we get into everything, I just wanted to like make a little announcement. It looks like Frights of the Round Table will be taking a break for a while. I don't know how long. Not sure when we'll be back or in what way, but we're kind of approaching our free quota here at Blog Talk Radio, so we're hoping we get to about episode 50 before it cuts us off. We're at episode 43 tonight, which is pretty cool. And this is almost April 2nd will be its fifth year anniversary. That's what we're planning on doing is having like a fifth year anniversary and kind of ended on that. That would be really cool. So hopefully on the 50th episode, on the fifth anniversary, that would be awesome. But in the meantime, it ends, we're going to start a new, brand new show on Thursday, April 5th. The show is called All About Acting, and my co-host Laura has agreed to co-host the show, and so we're really excited about that. We have a fantastic composer who worked on a few themes for me before, Michael Trapp, working on the intro music, and we also have a Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all dedicated to All About Acting. So please go to the Twitter is All About Act Pod, and Instagram, Facebook is All About Acting Podcast, and check it out. But until Laura gets there, I did want to introduce our guest for tonight is Rachel Amanda Bryant. How are you doing, Rachel?
Hi, everyone. Going.
It's going good. Sadly, yeah. Laura has some technical difficulties right now with her phone, so she's going to to call in as soon as she can. But until then, I wanted to start this off by asking a question that I normally ask for a lot of people, but, how did you first catch the acting bug?
Well, I was in a play my sophomore year of high school through the community theater of my town that I grew up in. It was called Anne of Green Gables, based on the famous young adult novels. And I played Anne's best friend, Diana. And from that moment on, I just knew that that's what I wanted to do with the rest of my life. It was just so much fun. And I was meeting all these people, and it was very... it was just an awesome form of storytelling, and I brought this story to life. I helped bring it to life about these other people. It was a great sense of community, an awesome way to learn and grow. Yeah.
Now, you played like the friend, you said, of it? Like,
yeah, the
what
friend
was it
to Anne,
about?
Yeah.
What was, like, how old were you at the time?
So I was 14 at the time.
14.
Or 15.
So yeah, this is about the time that most kids, that aren't like already child stars, you know what I mean? Like kind of discover theater, and everything.
Right, right.
What got you into film?
That happened, I would say that I got really inspired by certain movies while I was growing up. Moulin Rouge is a film that really affected me, and I thought if I could do something like that, if I could bring my storytelling to such a bigger audience the way that film can versus theater, which is a beautiful form of storytelling, but it's a very small audience because it's the audience there in the moment. But with film, you can reach every corner of the world potentially. So I got really inspired by Moulin Rouge and then went to college and started doing student films at Chapman University, where I got my BFA. And that was when I started really enjoying the film acting process as well, which is, it's still like the crux. It's still acting. It's still based in the same kind of thought, school of thought that theater acting is. It's just a different methodology, I would say.
Oh, great. All right. Well, our my co-host is on right now, so let me bring her on. Hey, Laura.
Oh, great.
Are you on?
Hey, guys. What's up? Hey.
Hi.
How are you doing, Rachel? Glad to have you on the show.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm ready to you know, I'm glad you're here. Nice to phone meet you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I noticed like you guys both have like a bunch of mutual friends too, that we all do. Like have the same a lot of the same friends, and it's just such a small like community of you know, just filmmakers and actors, you know, these days. So that's just great.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Now I want to ask Rachel, how did like what actor or actress or anybody like inspires you as an actress yourself?
For me? Oh, for her.
I have a few actors that really inspire me. I really love Amy Adams. I think that she has a really interesting career, and how she ended up where she is now is really fascinating. I think Jessica Chastain is incredible and kind of underrated. And I love the types of roles she chooses. And I'm really, I really like Leonardo DiCaprio. I think he's extremely talented. He's just so interesting to watch.
Yeah, definitely. Laura, do you like those actors as well?
Yeah, I definitely agree with, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio and his work and everything that he's done. I mean, you can tell, you know, he's not method, but he what we were talking about not last week, I think it was the week before, John, on our show, about the whole, you know, method, different schemes when people are method acting and when they're not. And I think Leonardo is one of those actors that is kind of like, at least how I work, which is kind of, you know, you do your homework, you do your research, you know what you're doing, and, you know, an hour or 2 hours or the day before you film, then you get fully immersed. But he's really good at being able to pull himself away and have his life away from his character.
Mm-hmm.
So he gets on set, he does his thing, and then he goes home. And I'm really big on that. You know, I'm really, that's harder than if you're just constantly in your character for, you know, weeks on end or whatever. And so I applaud him on being able, kind of like Meryl Streep, being able to kind of just show up, do your work, and do it well, and be able to go home and have a natural, balanced lifestyle. And that's one of the reasons why I love following Leo and his career, because he keeps that. He keeps that balanced life, which is great.
He's also so proactive, in the political sphere too, which I really, which I think kind of shows what you're saying. Like, it's another indicator of kind of what you're saying, that he doesn't just let his work penetrate into the rest of his life. He's able to do other stuff outside of being on set, outside of being in the character.
Yeah, exactly.
So this brings up an interesting idea or topic or whatever for, definitely for you, Rachel, to answer or whatever your thoughts. But like, I've noticed, like, you've mentioned Jessica Chastain, and I noticed like recently she got into the whole thing with, like, I guess Tarantino's thing, you know, with Uma Thurman, and she was taking Uma Thurman's side and stuff like that. And I feel like sometimes, and I mean, this is just me as an outsider, since I'm not part of that, you know, that Hollywood elite, you know, group, you know, all those people. But when I see that kind of stuff, like people taking sides or saying this or you know what I mean? Like, I almost get kind of like, you know, kind of pushed back from that, you know, and I feel like Twitter is a problem more than anything because it gives everybody a voice and everybody a chance. What do you think, Rachel, about the, like, just people just speaking their minds too much on Twitter?
I mean, I think there's a delicate balance for sure. I think that everyone is given an opportunity to express what they believe, right, with Twitter, which if you agree with what they say, you're probably like, yay, look at you, continue to say your mind. But if you disagree, you're like, oh, no, why are you saying that? So I think that, you know, of course there's going to be frustration from someone regarding whatever you say on the internet. However, these actresses, actors, directors, I mean, even you guys with your talk show, to a degree, you're like given a platform and you don't have to use it to do kind of like spark social change. But I don't fault anybody for using it for that either. I think that, you know, it's their prerogative and they will probably have some negative ramifications from that from certain demographics. But, you know, that's, you can't make everyone happy all the time. And I think trying to make everyone happy all the time is going to make you really disappointed and frustrated.
Oh. Yeah, for sure. And I'm one of those people, and I was actually talking to Jonathan about this recently, that I tend to frustrate other people because I am so, I distance myself so much. I don't suck up to anybody, or I don't, I'm not going to be friends with you because I want something, you know, like I'm trying to be friends with you. And a lot of people, you know, so like there's some people like I love that I work with in film, and I just never reach out to them unless I'm working with them again, or unless it's just like I want to make sure they're okay. But I'm not going to purposely reach out to them to suck up to them for something. I'm going to reach out to them because I just care. And there's a big difference in that. And in Los Angeles, there's a lot of that, I'm going to be friends with you. Or, you know, when I was in New York City, that's where I was trained, is in New York. And there is a lot of that there, too. So it doesn't matter where you are. It's just this industry is filled with a lot of people that are thinking, if I'm going to be friends with you because you can give me something, you know. And I just get tired. So I distance myself a lot. And so a lot of people get a little frustrated because I'm like, well, you know, I am busy. I'm doing my thing because, you know, I co-host with John now, which has been really fun. But me and John met through because, you know, I'm working on, you know, I have like 5 feature films being released this year alone. And it's like I'm too busy to try to even think about sucking up to someone to get, you know what I mean? It's like too much work for me.
Right. Well, and even then, regardless, you don't have to. Like, your work speaks for itself. Obviously, you've got, like, that's working because you have such an incredible year coming up. So, I think that's, like, across the sphere of just, like, humanity is, like, there's going to be a cross-section of people that use others for their own gain, right? And in an industry where that's like filled with a lot of narcissistic, ego-driven people, just because of, you kind of have to be like, you kind of have to think you're pretty awesome, I think, to like want to be put on stage in front of everybody else. I think there is a little bit of narcissism in being an actor. However, the degree of that can vary greatly to the point where some are incredibly irritating. And I think that's where you see a little bit of that like sycophant quality from some certain people in the industry.
Yeah. And on that
definitely.
Note, like, how, sorry, John, go ahead.
Oh, no, you go ahead, Laura.
Well, I was going to say, like, on that note, like, for you, Rachel, like, how has especially with everything going on, I don't know if this was discussed before, I jumped on here, but Like, how do you feel with you, you know, in the film industry? Like, have you had a successful run, and have you been able to work with great people? And, like, has it been a good experience for you as a female actor?
I've been incredibly blessed with certain opportunities, and then there were other opportunities that I thought was going to change my life that never panned out. But I don't look at those things. For a while, I looked at that like it was a feature that I was in that never was released. I spent a lot of time and energy shooting it, and as the lead actress. And for a long time, I had a lot of resentment about it because I was like, well, if only this had happened, then I could have, you know, why did I spend all this time and energy? I could have been working on other projects. But I look at that time now, and I think how much I grew as an actor, just my work, the learning how to be on set, the work ethic of doing a feature like that really prepared me to do, like, the campus was the most exhausting experience I have ever done because it's just me on screen for the majority of the time. And that is incredible, but it's also physically taxing and emotionally taxing. And I, you know, part of me wonders, like, if I hadn't had that failed feature experience before, would I have been mentally or physically prepared for what that meant to be on set like that?
Right. Exactly.
It is so funny that you mentioned that, because, like, two of the questions I was going to ask you about the campus are actually two questions that you just answered. you know, one of them was, how difficult was the role of Morgan for you? And did you learn anything from that performance or film that has helped you with future roles? You literally just answered both of those questions in that, like, that one answer.
Morgan was challenging because she's by herself the whole time, but it was challenging for me as an actor, but the character herself is not challenging. I found a lot of myself in her, which I really liked. I also love the film deals with this woman who's grieving her father, and I think she really wishes she had reconciled with him before he died, and I really wanted that theme to kind of come across throughout the film, of this idea of regret that she never reached out to him prior to his death, and now she's kind of dealing with some of the ramifications of that.
Bad for your character. I was just gonna say, I feel bad for your character. I'm sorry for interrupting you, but because the thing is, like, you know, after watching that movie, I started thinking about it, but I'm like, I don't, obviously your character was estranged, like your character kind of distanced yourself from your father, and then he kind of, like, in a way, inadvertently makes you a part of his life again, but in, like, a horrible way, like, kind of the worst, you know, like, you have to deal with all this, like, kind of, you have to deal with dying over and over again. And I was just, like, watching that movie going, I feel so horrible that, like, he kind of puts you through all that crap when you're, you know, like, I guess it's, you know, it's, I guess you would look at it as it was, you know, you learning, you know, taking a lesson from, you know, like, having a hard lesson to learn from it. But, like, that was just—it was just harsh for me to kind of watch it, because I was like, "Oh man, like, I feel bad for Morgan the whole time. Like, she has to deal with all this crap."
I mean, you know, his character at the start, he had his own hubris. You know, I mean, there's that flashback beginning where he's first encountering the devil, and he negotiates with him and says, okay, I'll give you my firstborn, because him at the time, of course, never thought he'd have it. I think that shows a lot of, like, hubris on his part. He's like, you know, all I need is money. I don't need to worry about anything else, any potential issues in my future. That definitely is a mistake, I guess you could say, on his part, that then gets, like, transferred to me, and then I have to do this terrible, torturing experience. I think that I like the fact that you feel bad for Morgan, because I think at the start she's not a very likable character in the film at the beginning. She's kind of bratty. She's like at this funeral and not really kind to her sister. No one's really kind to her. And she's just like, it makes you almost not feel so bad the first time she dies. I like that. But then she gets her humanity back and she redeems herself, I think. And it's not a black and white kind of situation, which I really appreciated. That's something the director really wanted. And we had talked about that in our pre-production rehearsals, to make her more likable by the end, and definitely have that arc where she starts out in this entitled version of herself. And she does kind of need to learn a lesson too.
Right. Jason is coming on the show, by the way, on March 2nd.
Wow.
We just talked about that
today.
So, yeah,
good.
So I'm excited to chat with him. You know, I want to pick his brain about it because, yeah, may have to watch it again just to, you know, make sure. But yeah, it is a wonderful, like you said, at first you don't like her at all, and you really don't. Like, you're like, okay, so she's kind of like a bitch. And then all of a sudden, you know, she dies the first time, comes back, and then you're like, okay, so it's almost like she gets like a second, third, fourth, you know, chance to kind of keep winning the audience over. And they do it so well where I actually do, like I said, I do care for her enough where I'm just like, oh, you know, I want her to survive this and figure out how to do that, you know. And I don't know how anybody writes that and does that. So I'll definitely, I can't wait to talk to Jason about that, because that'll be that'll be fun to kind of figure out if there was something that he learned that could help other screenwriters out with that. Laura, do you have any more questions?
I mean, I honestly was just going to say, you know, the campus, for one, for everyone listening out there, I'm just going to do a shout out. It's beautifully shot and it's well written. And I just can't wait. I hadn't finished it. I only got like 45 minutes through, and I'm dying to finish it. I'm actually going to finish it tonight, because I feel like it's one of those films that it pulls you in. You know, it has like this nice start, but then you're like, wait a minute, I need to figure out what's going on, what's going to happen next, you know, so you want to keep watching. But for you, Rachel, I was just going to, you know, ask, is there anything, like, do you do anything? I know you're an actress and you're amazing in your role in this film, and I'm sure you're amazing in other films, and I'll have to check out your other work. And you're very beautiful. I'm going to say that to everyone out there.
Thank you.
And my boyfriend's like, why is she saying that? But I just want to ask, do you do anything more than that? Do you also like to, you know, write and get into it yourself?
Yeah, actually. As a kid, that was what I wanted to be first, was a writer. And I was really into reading, and I was really involved with these characters in my head. I was always very, like, falling into my imagination. And I wrote several novels when I was a kid, actually. I was kind of born to be a storyteller. It translated into the screen, and now I've written a couple things for the screen, but I've now started a writer's workshop with my production company and Gas Money Pictures, who produced The Campus. And I will be writing my first series that will star me. I will be writing my first feature that will star me. I also am a producer. I'm just ready to create and tell the stories through whatever way possible.
Nice. Beautiful. I love that.
Yeah. That's, you know, it's great to see actors that, you know, get into other avenues. You know, some go right into directing, some go into writing and producing, you know, either whatever, you know, other stuff. And I think that is a wonderful talent to have, basically, you know, not just being able to, to act, but being able to bring it also behind the camera and stuff like that. I just, so, what, do you have any projects you can talk about that are, that you're writing at this moment or that you're having come out?
Well, I produced and started a short film called The After Party, and we are going to be premiering at a festival this spring. We aren't able to say which one yet because they haven't announced the lineup, but it's a Twilight Zone-esque short about this social media queen who kind of gets her comeuppance at the end. It's shot in black and white. It's a film noir style. Beautifully, the cinematography in it is beautiful. It's another character where I'm playing where I'm not likable, oddly enough. In the rest of my career, I play, like, very likable girl next door type characters, and the campus, I'm slightly deviating from that, you know, with how she starts out, but then the arc kind of comes back around. But in the After Party, this short, I am not likable at all through the whole thing. Which is just, you know, it's kind of fun to stretch my muscles in that way and to grow other parts of me and let other parts of me that I don't really like to show to the world because they're scary and mean, you know, and have that be what people see.
Absolutely.
Right. Because that is, you know, and that's got to be tough, though. Like, when you are yourself, you seem really sweet and down to earth and really, you know, you're – yourself, but like you're gonna have to play somebody who's either like mean or unlikable or whatever. Is it tough for you to kind of get into that mindset? Like, do you have to like think of like mean people or something, or what do you do to do that stuff?
Well, here's the thing. I think that have a lot of darkness in them. I'm saying that like everybody, right? So like even though I have this. I choose to live in positivity, and I succeed in doing that the majority of the time. Sometimes this is Rachel speaking, sometimes I don't succeed in that. The characters I play, because a lot of characters are similar to me, will kind of be in that vein of life. However, it's not like it's hard to kind of open up the darkness inside because we all have our demons. And I think part of acting is letting the world see your demons and being entirely vulnerable and somehow knowing it's going to be okay. Like, I can play someone who's a terrible human being and I know that my fan base isn't going to be like, oh, Rachel's a terrible human being, because they know that I'm just trying to tell a story and hopefully shed some light on some darkness that's in the world.
Yeah, totally. That's a great answer. Thank you.
Sure.
All right. Well, we've got about two more minutes till like it ends live or so. Is there anything you wanna talk? Like, do you wanna give a shout out or do you want to give a shout out or anything or tell people where they can reach you social media wise?
Sure. Yeah. So, I'm pretty easy to find. I'm on Instagram, actress Rachie, RACHIE. I am on Facebook, Rachel Amanda Bryant. I'm on Twitter, Rachel A. Bryant. Connect with me. I love to, chat with my fans. The campus has really broadened my fan base, and I've grown a lot of really great, I've gotten to know a lot of really great people that have seen the movie. And I'll give a special shout out to the cast and crew, the rest of the cast, and then the crew of the campus, just because this experience, I can feel it changing my life. It did change my life, and I'm excited to see what happens next. And I could not have done it without them putting their heart and soul into the project. So I am eternally grateful to them.
All right. Laura, did you have any last words to ask Rachel?
I don't want to get out of time. I mean, I would just like to say, you know, again, thank you for coming on the show, and To everyone out there, if you haven't gotten a chance, go watch The Campus. And where can they find it online? Where can people go see it?
Oh, yeah. We are on Amazon. So do a search on Amazon Instant. We are called The Campus, Amazon Instant. And then watch it and then leave a review. Why not, right?
I love it.
Thank you guys so much. This is so much fun.
Yeah. I was wondering why you asked me if I, like, you're saying that I mean, I guess I could write a review even though I interviewed you because, you know, I am just a viewer, you know, who just happens to get some more information from you personally. But, yeah.
I make you write.
You know, I did
it. Write a review for her. Do it now.
All right. Well,
you write
thank
a review.
You.
Thank you. Then I'll be happy, so happy.
Yes, definitely. Because, yeah, you should do it too, Laura, if you're going to make me do it.
Oh, you know? I'm totally going to do it. Are you kidding me? I went to it at 6 a.m. I wake up at 6 a.m. when we do it.
All right.
I'm going to finish the movie, and I'm going to write the best review of my life.
Woohoo!
All right. Well, yeah, the best review. All right, but then... Yeah, you can't top that after that one, right? Like, that's it. You know, after that, you have to retire from doing reviews. All right. Well, once again, thank you, Rachel, so much. You're very lovely.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
And everybody, check out, I'm going to be on tomorrow night with, Samantha Caitlin and Jenny Giannetti will be on here. Unfortunately, Laura cannot make it tomorrow night, but she'll be back next week for sure. And I'm not sure who we have next week yet, but there's only going to be one show on Thursday, and then on the following Friday, we start doing just Fridays until the end of the show. So, so Laura, I already mentioned that we're doing All About Acting and that you're going to be a part of it now and everything. So.
I'm so excited. It's going to be the best show. I am really excited for it. So
I'm really looking forward to that, you guys.
What?
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to listening to that. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, I'm so excited. When John contacted me about this, I was just like, yes, I am down. I am so down. I don't know, just any chance to get any actor on anyone that's out there that follows the show, that's, you know, in acting, and or wants to even get into it, call in. We can answer your questions. We can help you. We can answer anything you need. But it's going to be one of those shows where I just, like, anybody can call, you know, to be a part and be a part of the show.
Yeah, and we've got three guests lined up already. So, you know, people calling wanting to come on and chat with us. So
yeah,
that would be great.
Awesome.
So it's going to be kind of like this show, except all about acting, literally.
I'm going to swear like every 2 seconds. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not. I'm just maybe a little.
You can if you want. I mean, it's going to be rated R, so all right. But, you know, just like this show is.
We should do a thing where we get people. I was going to say I could do it, but we get people to, like, speak a monologue when they call in. They can, like, perform a monologue on the show.
Ooh,
anyway.
That could be good. See, she's got all these ideas. This is why I chose my co-host, because you got all these freaking ideas. So we'll chat about them, because that's a good idea.
Yeah.
You can do it. I'm not going to do one, but
I'll
do one.
People can write in and send me monologues they want me to perform. And I'll perform a different monologue every week.
There you go.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my goodness. That is awesome. All right. Yes,
yeah.
I love it, too. All right. We got to start writing this stuff down. all right. Well, and Rachel, you'll definitely be on our show for that for sure. We'll have you come back on it.
Oh, yeah, awesome.
On it.
I think that'd be fun. So fun.
Yeah. Maybe she'll make you do a monologue. I don't know.
Yes.
I know. I got to figure out my monologue now, you guys.
No,
that'll be great.
Send send in. They tell people, like, no, viewers have to send in, and, like, you know, they surprise us. Like, they pick the monologue we have to perform. So it's like we can't, you know, there's no preparing, really. You know, it's just like they
right,
send it in.
Right.
Like, okay. But that's what's going to be fun. It's like you completely blow it. It would be fun, you know. I mean, like, just to
yeah,
do it.
Yeah.
You know?
It's not about doing it like the greatest or whatever. It's about having fun and enjoying it and
oh, yeah,
you know still
sure.
trying to make
yes.
it you know work.
Absolutely.
Well,
yes.
All right. Well, thank you once again, and it was lovely talking to you and awesome. And,
yeah, awesome talking to you guys.
We'll be...
Thank you.
Absolutely.
All right, Rachel and Laura will be chatting soon about all that stuff, but everybody have a great night, and I'll see you guys tomorrow. Okay. Bye.
Bye.